This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. We are talking about books today, two different books. One is about Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and the other one is a poetry book about moving from pain to healing. So our first guest on this first segment is Cheryl C.D. Hughes, who holds a PhD in historical theology from Durham University in England. Her books include Catherine Drexel, The Rags to Riches Story of an American Catholic Saint, and Crossing Boundaries and Confounding Identity, Chinese Women in Literature, Art, and Film. She and her husband live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and today we're talking with her about the new book from Ignatius Press called Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Convert Maker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Where did the idea for this book come from? Because a lot of people know that Archbishop Fulton Sheen was a televangelist, one of the first and best who used the medium of television to evangelize. But how did the idea for this book come about?
Well, I'm a convert myself, and I'm very interested in convert stories. And as I was looking at various convert stories, a large number of them had been brought into the church by Fulton Sheen. So I thought, well, that's really very interesting. So I started looking into his life and found that he was just the most amazing individual. And as we all know, he was very, very influential in the 1950s and 60s, and really even into the 70s.
I would imagine that there are people who converted to the faith because of Fulton Sheen that we'll never know about, right? But you have some people in this book who were significantly impacted by him and who are kind of notable for that. Tell us some of those examples.
Well, I think one is Clare Boothe Luce was probably the star in his firmament of various converts. She was married to Henry Luce, and she herself was a playwright, screenplay writer. A number of her plays had been made into movies. And she was a woman who was extremely restless and moved. She and Henry moved all the time, new houses, new states. And after her daughter was killed, she was totally devastated. She had really nothing to fall back upon. She was a congresswoman at the time, but she had lost really everybody in her family and was considering jumping out the window of a high-rise building in New York City. And four of her friends had done that, so that seemed like a fairly plausible thing to be doing.
Oh, my.
But she had heard or had received mail from a priest in Ohio, and she called him at 2 a.m. and said that her soul was in turmoil. And he said to her, well, I know the person you need is Fulton Sheen. And so she went to Fulton Sheen, and he invited her to dinner, and they're having dinner. And he said, well, I will talk for 5 minutes, and you can talk for as long as you want and ask all the questions you want. But very early into his five-minute discussion, he mentioned about the goodness of God, and she just flew out of her chair and said, there's no good in God. God wouldn't take my child. That is not a good God. Why would he do that? And Fulton Sheen, I think, shockingly said that your daughter has paid the price for your redemption. And she died so that you would be here taking instructions into the Catholic Church. And she did. And she thought that that was the right thing to say. Even I find it shocking. But anyway, that was her entrance into the Catholic Church.
That's fascinating, because you think about the fact that he was talking at kind of impersonal level via TV, not knowing who was on the other side, who was watching at that time. He spoke to tens of thousands, even a million people at a time in stadiums and arenas. And again, he didn't know which one of those hearts would be open at that time. But here's a woman who he spoke to one-on-one, and that made the difference for her, right?
Absolutely. There were many converts. It's estimated that he converted approximately 42,000 people. So often I'm asked, you know, what surprises me about Fulton Sheen? Well, that number, that 42,000, is just a huge number.
That's staggering.
It's staggering. And I guess thanks to modern media, he was able to do that. I mean, at one point he realized he was speaking to more people in that instant than everyone that the Apostle Paul had seen in his travels. So he realized that the power of the medium, and he really, I think, made the best of it.
When you think about some of these people who are influential and have been part of that, I mean, Martin Sheen chose the name Sheen from his name was Estevez before that. But he chose the name Sheen because of Fulton Sheen.
Right.
Why are some of these other people so influenced by what Fulton Sheen had to say, especially in that time of our country when things were in a little bit of turmoil in the 50s, 60s, 70s?
Well, I think in lots of ways, Sheen was preaching eternal truths, things that go on, in the 50s and in the 1850s and the 1750s, that the importance that God loves you are individually chosen by God, and that God loves you and will be with you and wants your good. A lot of his famous converts were ex-communists, and they had bought into the idea of the fellowship of man, the brotherhood of man. And Sheen said, the brotherhood of man is nothing without the fatherhood of God. And so I think in lots of ways, his steadfastness and his kindness, he was extremely kind and gentle, even though that exchange with Clare Boothe Luce sounds kind of crazy. Very, very kind and gentle. And people seeing him on television thought he was actually in their own rooms. I mean, he was just so personable.
Yeah, him and his chalkboard.
Him and his chalkboard and his angel Skippy to erase it, and all that was extremely corny. But everybody knew it was corny. It really wasn't funny. It wasn't, changing anybody's mind about who was erasing the chalkboard. It was just that was part of his persona. He could tell a corny joke, usually with himself as the butt, and that's the way he opened his shows almost every time.
Do you think he's going to eventually be beatified and canonized? And what's holding that up?
Well, I certainly hope he's going to be canonized. He was right down to be beatified. Because he had actually had a miracle that was an approved miracle of a child born stillborn, and over an hour later began to cry, after which his parents had been, before that, his parents had been praying to Fulton Sheen to cure their baby. And at the last minute of his beatification, really just days away from it, an accusation came from Rochester, New York, the diocese where he had been the ordinary for 3 short years. I think what happened there was somebody was just disgruntled. They have long memories. Rochester was not a high point in his career. He was not really much of an administrator. He's really a people person, and really wanted to help people. And so there was some accusation. I don't know what it is. I think there's speculation that it had to do with pedophilia priests, and maybe he hadn't done enough. And yet, immediately after that accusation was made, the Vatican investigated it. The Diocese of Rochester investigated it. The Sheen Foundation investigated it. And there's really nothing there. So what I've been told by a couple of priests and a couple of bishops as well is that the Vatican responds to pressure from the USCCB. And what's happened since Sheen had been coming up for beatification is just a multiplication of candidates for sainthood have come out of more dioceses than you can imagine in the last decade. So I think somebody like Sheen has kind of got putting up, has gotten put on the back burner.
Despite the number of people he has brought to the faith in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Exactly.
What do you think readers will find surprising in this book? And the book is Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Convert Maker.
Well, one of the things that surprised me when I started researching it was to learn that Fulton Sheen was at his adult height between 5'7" and 5'8". He was not a tall man, but his influence was way out of proportion to his stature. And I think partially that is because when he talked to people, he wore his full regalia. He wore the fariola, the big cape. And so that takes up more space. And the buttons on his cassock, create a vertical line. And then we put the camera just a little bit below his eye level so that the audience at home is looking up at him. So everybody thinks he's much bigger. And he was, but he was all about 5'7", I say 5'8" on a proud day, and weighed about 130 pounds.
Well, there's hope for short guys like me then, right?
Absolutely.
Cheryl, where can we people get this book? The book is Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Convert Maker, and it's from Ignatius Press.
Well, you can get it from the Ignatius Press website. They sell their books there. Also, there are a number of other websites. And certainly your local Catholic book and gift store will be carrying it as well.
What's up next? Are you looking at any other major Catholic figures to follow up on?
Actually, I'm thinking about doing a treatment of Bricktop, who was one of the converts that I discuss in the book. And she was a nightclub owner, African American woman whose mother had been born into slavery, went over to Paris and was extremely popular and well known in Paris between World War I and World War II, and had many, many friendships in Hollywood and other places. And she became a convert because of Fulton Sheen. And I just think that she would be a fascinating study.
Sounds great. Look forward to reading that one and talking to you about that after it gets published.
Joe, just thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, we have been talking today with Cheryl Hughes, who is the author of the book Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Convert Maker. After the break, we're going to talk with Sherry Palmateer about her poetry book, From Pain to Healing. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Hughes.
Thank you for having me.
This is Chris Guntier of the Catholic Review, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. Join us after the break.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from three specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Pope Francis has named Bishop Bruce A. Lewandowski as the new Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island. The announcement came April 8th from the Vatican and the U.S. Bishops' Conference. A Redemptorist priest and Ohio native, Bishop Lewandowski has served as an auxiliary bishop of Baltimore for 5 years and previously served as pastor of the largely Hispanic Sacred Heart of Jesus Sagrado Corazon de Jesus Parish in Highlandtown. He's also ministered in New York, Pennsylvania, and the West Indies. Fluent in Spanish and Portuguese, he brings key pastoral skills to a diocese with large Spanish and Portuguese-speaking communities. He'll be installed as Providence's 10th bishop on May 20th. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. We are talking with books and authors today. And this segment, our guest is Sherry Palmateer, who has a new book out called From Pain to Peace, Weekly Prayers for Those Who Suffer. Sherry Palmateer has worked for the past several years as the Director of Youth Ministry at St. Joseph Fullerton Catholic Church in Maryland. And this past year, the Director of Religious Education was added to her title. She and her husband have 4 children who were adopted. And she's originally from Western New York, now living on a homestead in Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sherry.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to be here.
So the book, it sounds right off the bat like this is going to be a downer of a book because it's about pain and grief and those kinds of things. But it's about healing. Where did you come up with the idea for this book and how long did it take you to put together?
Well, it's been being written for over 20 years.
I would imagine.
It's been my conversations with God and Mary through all kinds of suffering that I went through. And it, in the beginning, was just my journaling. It was never intended to be a book. And then never, one day I was putting a couple of my, these, I guess you could call them poems. Some people have called them psalms back to me online. And someone said, "Hey, is that in a book?" And I'm like, "Well, I've never really thought about a book." And she's like, "You should." And I was like, "Well, I don't know anybody." She goes, "I know somebody." And that's kind of how it all started. So
great. When you're looking at this from a point of view of people who are in pain, from pain to peace is the name of the book. How do you get there? I mean, you talk about journaling and talking with God about this, but how do you move from these things? You know, you talk about in here about the cross, you talk about grief and those kinds of things. I mean, the list that goes on, struggle, sickness, agony, guilt, brokenness. How do you focus on those things and then bring them all to a place that's healing and peaceful?
Well, it's like ever since I was little, I started in pain when I was 10. And my doctors told my parents that there was no way I could be in pain. So I learned to rely on God from very young, you know, and he's just always been there for me. So ways that, you know, I would get myself to be with Jesus would be like when I crushed my hand. I just remember I had these stitches on both sides of my hand. The pain was so incredible. I was laying on the couch and I looked up at the cross and I thought, wow, you know, you took so much pain for me. And here I am doing, you know, being so upset about my pain. And the more I did that, the more I just like would take it and relate it back to God, the more I just felt more connected to God. And the more I could see him just working through each thing that I went through.
Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through some of these things? Because there's physical pain and there's mental pain, mental anguish. Yeah. How do you make a difference between those as you're bringing those to God?
Well, if I could just like go back, like some of my story was severe endometriosis with infertility, and the pain was just massively incredible. That's what nobody understood what it was. It was just destroying my fertility. And it was at one point, I mean, there was even, I had people go, "Wow, it's really sad. Dwayne has a sick wife." Or it's, you know, "Wow, Dwayne's sister-in-law makes really pretty babies. You know, maybe you should let him be a father that way." It was like all these very, very hurtful comments. And so for about 3 years, I crawled from a bedroom to a bathroom in massive amount of pain. And there was a time that, you know, Satan was like, "Hey, if you weren't there, Dwayne could be a dad." But that moment, that day happened. I remember I stood in the shower and I was like, "God, if you bring me kids, I'll bring them to you." And I just kind of laid everything out to him. And he started answering me immediately. Like the next day, my friends that were up there is like, "Sherry, there's this doctor in Oregon. And his wife had endometriosis. He believes that he can heal women with endometriosis." At this point, I already had 5 surgeries, walked out of every one in more pain than the last. And I was like, "No way. I just don't want to do this again, you know?" And they're like, "No, we really think you need to go to this. And I'm not thinking. I just asked God for an answer. And I didn't think he was answering me that quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I met this nurse and she's like, "I really think he can help you." We sent our records to him in Bend, Oregon. And it was less than a month. We were on a plane flying out there. It was this rickety, like 15-seat plane, landed in the middle of nowhere. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? It wasn't even a real airport.
Oh, my.
It was even a terminal. You just kind of threw the bag. I was like, but I went into surgery with him. And I walked out with no pain. And it was like incredible. I had to be in a wheelchair for like 2 weeks. But the pain, all that pain stopped. And it was like within a very short time, Dwayne, we were living in California at the time. He was putting in the light rail systems. And they said, we need you to move. So it was either like, I think it was like Georgia or Maryland. And I saw Maryland had the St. Jude Shrine of Hopeless Cases. I'm like, I think we need to go to Maryland.
Let's go talk to St. Jude.
Right. And as soon as we pulled into Maryland, I started seeing, like, desperately seeking foster parents. And I just said to Dwayne, what do you think? And he's like, I just want to be a dad. I don't care how, you know? And this was like, God was immediately holding me to that promise that I made. And then over the course of, I was young, I was just going to turn 25. Social services is like, you're too young to be parents. You haven't even had kids yet, you know? But we did, we completed the training, and we were parents, foster parents for 10 years. And out of that, our first foster child we adopted, and the last two were babies, which was beautiful. My daughter, Caitlin, who was one of those babies, just like when they put her in my arms, it was like everything, all that pain was gone. It was, mm-hmm. it was beautiful. So it was like, but I could see these instances where God had, when I look back, my neighbors had foster kids I played with as a kid, you know? So it was like, God was setting this up. When I was living in Texas, I had a boss that was there, and she used to drive me home because I was in so much pain. I thought, she is going to fire me. There's no way she's going to let me continue to work. And one day she called me in her office and she's like, I really need to talk to you. And I thought, this is the day I'm going to lose my job. And she told me, her name was Phyllis. And she's like, Sherry, I had three children and my husband, and they were all killed in a car accident. And I was paralyzed from my neck down. The doctors told me I would never walk again, but there was a male nurse and he just didn't believe it. And not only after all this time of working and getting herself back, she walked again, she married him, and she adopted a daughter. And she looked right at me and she said, don't believe God doesn't have a plan for you. So like, I could see as I look back where he was setting up foster care and adoption, you know, and yeah. he was always in the mix.
Yeah. When you look at this, and you've taken this experience that you have, and you've put it into this beautiful book, which is published by Isaiah 23:6 Press. When you are working with youth and young adults, when you're in your roles at the parish, how do you take these experiences you've had and help them understand that they shouldn't despair? And we know life is tough for teenagers these days. We know that. Yes. It really is. Yes. But what words of wisdom can you share with them based on your experience?
I think I try to show them some of these things that where God showed up. Like when I was in this church, I would tell them, you know, he's always there. You just got to be paying attention. And I remember being in this church in Anaheim, California. It was late at night. It was this big, beautiful church. And this lady just walked up behind me. And I always wear a scapular, but I'm not even thinking that. And she's like, I know that you got great devotion to Mary. And she says, I just want to give you this picture, take it to Medjugorje on the wall of the Blessed Mother with the kids. And I'm looking at this picture, just kind of like amazing at it. And I turn around and she's gone. And the church bells just start ringing, you know? And it was like, I would just like share with them all these different, these moments where God just showed up. But I also could just, I can have massive compassion for them, whether they are bullied because just all the things people said through me through infertility. I had a foster daughter. She took her life at 17. And that was very, very difficult. So I think all these different experiences that I went through, I try to share each one of them with like different parts of them where it will relate to their stories.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find this book? The book is called From Pain to Peace, Weekly Prayers for Those Who Suffer. It's published by Isaiah 26:3 Press.
It is in Our Lady Center right now in Ellicott City. It is also in the Cathedral Mary Queen in their bookstore. And you can also find it on Amazon.
Awesome. What's next for you? Are you still journaling? Are you still doing these kinds of things to keep your thoughts together?
I still do journal. But I want to tell you this. Why this book went out is kind of how God was like, okay, you need to put this book out now. 2 years before, I had met the editor, but my mom came to live with us and life was crazy. But in October, I was having a hard time walking up the stairs, breathing. So I went to the doctor. A doctor and a radiologist diagnosed me with bilateral pulmonary fibrosis, which would give you 2 months to 5 years to live. And it was very, very real to me because my dad died in 6 months from mesothelioma. And so I start that my first thought is I got to put this book together because I got to leave something for my kids and my grandkids. Okay. So it was like 2 weeks later, I met with Father John. He is the pastor at St. Mary's. He used to work with me. So we just kind of talked through this pain and he did this beautiful anointing, had someone pray over me. And the next day I met with my pulmonary specialist. She did more tests and she said, Sherry, I think they read the records wrong. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And she said, I don't think you have this. And it was like this, like unbelievable weight. And I joked with God. I'm like, if you wanted me to finish the book, why didn't you just tell me? You know, but you know, it was like that another time of just like, how much do you trust me? You know, so I felt like that was like, I need to get the book out. And then I met with my editor that same day, and she's like, we can get this out in January, February at the latest. So that's why it happened right now.
Well, there we have it. Well, we want to thank our guest today. First segment, our guest was Cheryl Hughes talking about Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And our guest this segment has been Sherry Palmateer talking about her book, From Pain to Peace. Thanks so much for being with us today, Sherry.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me on.
This is Chris Gundy of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.